Let's turn to James chapter 5. James is almost right towards the end of the Bible. We'll begin with verse number 16. The Bible says here, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. We'll pause in our reading there and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do pray your blessing during this time as we have your word before us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to give our attention to you. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have liberty. Lord, I pray that you would teach us to pray. Teach us, Lord. We have so much room for growth. And we have so many needs that we must talk to you about. Oh God, we are thankful that you're a God who hears prayer. You're a God who loves us. Oh Lord, I pray that you would work in our lives, that you would mold us to be more like Jesus. We pray and ask in Jesus' name, amen. God works in response to prayer. The theme for our year, for this year, is on prayer. God has sovereignly chosen to work in response to the prayers of his people. He has sovereignly chosen to work in response to the prayers of his people. We have before us James 5, and the last part of verse 16 is our key passage for this year. "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." As time goes on, we'll get into more of the surrounding verses here. But I want you to consider, once again, just a little bit of review as we dived into this last week, dove into this. We have here, in my own paraphrase of this verse, "effective is the strong petition of one who is righteous. It accomplishes great things." Effective is the strong petition of one who is righteous. It accomplishes great things. God wants us to pray. He wants us to pray. This is God's declaration. He tells us that prayer is effective, especially, particularly, coming from one who is right with him. When we are walking with God, there is such a powerful place of opportunity through prayer. Communication with God. We looked last week at some of the key components we can find about this verse and the declaration God makes here. We saw three main components come to the surface, and that is a strong petition. There is herein a strong petition, the fervent prayer. We saw how that strong petition is humbly. It should come humbly. It should come boldly, and it should come earnestly. But one of the other components of this declaration by God is not only the strong petition, but secondly, it is one who is right with him. From one who is right with God, when this strong petition comes from one who is right with God, it's amazing, it's powerful, it's changing. And the third and last component is it evokes divine help. We get God's help. Strong petition from one who is walking with God gets divine help. Again, last week we talked about how the fact is, it's not that God doesn't hear prayers of those who are in sin, for yes, he does, especially and particularly when they are seeking him in repentance and faith. Oh, he hears those prayers, and I'm thankful he does. For I certainly have had to utter prayers. Certainly the prayer when I confessed my sin and came to Christ for my Savior. That is a prayer God heard. And I'm thankful for that. But we're identifying here in God's declaration that he is saying that prayer is particularly effective in getting God's work accomplished in this world and seeing God's power in our life, seeing God's healing in our life. We're seeing it particularly through a person who is walking in righteousness. Someone who is saved and walking with God. Right with God and right with others. This is a powerful component to God's declaration. So the strong petition, the one who is right with God, summons the divine help. We have the example given to us of Elijah. And we'll say more about this in the future, but Elijah was a guy just like us. That's what it says. It says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He's a regular guy. He's a human being. He had the same weaknesses and struggles. And yet, he prayed earnestly. Now, he had a great burden on his heart, Elijah did. The nation of Israel, in 1 Kings 17, the nation of Israel was going the wrong way. They were worshiping false gods. They were living sinfully, and he was so burdened for his nation that he began to pray that God would stop sending rain to get the people's attention, for they were happy-go-lucky. They were, you know, not even thankful for what they had, and they were going on living sinfully. And he said, God, would you please shut up the heavens that it rains not on the earth, that your people might turn to you. And that is what he prayed. And God answered his prayer, and for 3.5 years, it did not rain. A lot to the story. We won't go into it now. But after 3.5 years, the thing culminated on Mount Carmel with the 450 prophets of Baal. You know the story. It's a very prominent one in the scripture. The God who would send fire, let him be the God, Elijah declared. And sure enough, after a long day of the prophets of Baal crying out to their God, cutting themselves and chanting and all this kind of thing, there was nothing. Nothing from heaven. No sound. Their sacrifice on their altar was just sitting there. And Elijah took time and with 12 stones built an altar. Placed a bullock there on wood and a bullock. And of course, I think it was 3 times he had them douse it with water. Absolutely douse the sacrifice there with water. And it ran around and on the trench around about. And yet, when Elijah prayed and asked God to send fire from heaven and show that he is the true and living God, the fire fell. And the Bible tells us, 1 Kings 17, that it consumed not just the sacrifice, but it consumed the rocks. It consumed, obviously, the wood. It consumed everything. It even licked up the dirt. And the people said, the Lord, Jehovah, he is the God. There were many people who turned to the Lord that day. Prayer accomplishes a lot. We need to capitalize upon its potential. And so we're going to go here and talk a little bit about how God has sovereignly chosen to work in response to prayer. God has sovereignly chosen to work in response to prayer. I'd like you to go to the book of Matthew in chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. These are simple verses, verses that practically anyone can understand. God speaks here about prayer. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 7. Please notice the scripture. The Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." What simple truths God shares with us about prayer. He says, ask, ask, seek, knock. I respond to prayer. I respond to prayer. I would like to point out that prayer is something God designed. It's not we humans who have designed prayer and thought, well, we got to talk to God. I mean, we got to get a hold of God. We got to do something to shake God and say, hey, you got to help me. You got to do something. No, 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 no. Prayer is not man-based. Prayer is God-based. The true and living God, the sovereign, the almighty God has designed prayer. He set it up. He designed prayer. He gave us the privilege and the opportunity of communication with Him. He has sovereignly chosen to work in response to prayer. In other words, a prayer is not you twisting God's arm. It's something God has provided you the opportunity for. God has actually given us the opportunity of prayer. Prayer, designed by God, and designed by God to be meaningful. Meaningful. This communication with Him is a two-way interaction. God talks to us as we spend time with Him. It is true. One who honestly and wholeheartedly seeks God receives communication from God. Yes, through His Word, and certainly through the Holy Spirit of God, which dwells in each one who has trusted Jesus as their Savior. We have the Holy Spirit. He's our teacher and our guide. And God communicates with us as we give attention to Him. Prayer is critical. Let me put it in these kind of words, how important prayer is, how critical prayer is. There are good things God is willing to do in your life and through your life that God won't do unless you pray for those things. Now, I wouldn't say that characterizes absolutely every interaction God has with man, for that is not the case. There are many things God does, such as sending His Son to be our Savior. He didn't send His Son because somebody was praying. He sent His Son because He knew our need. But there are things that God will leave undone if we don't pray for them. You see, because prayer is not about twisting God's arm to get Him to do what we want. There's a big component of prayer that has to do with God seeing us walk in step with His desires. When a man starts seeking God and praying, that very communication before His throne of grace does an amazing work in a man who bows the knee, in a woman, in a child who seeks God. Yes, prayer is critical. You say, how can it be that God would withhold doing something good that He in fact would like to do, would want to do, is willing to do if we don't pray? Well, look at the scripture. We just read it. It's simple. Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. What is the obvious implication here? If you don't ask, it won't be given. How many things have my children received because they asked? How many chocolates have they received because they asked? How many donuts? I'm using all junk food, right? But how many donuts would they have missed out on had they not asked? Now, I don't always give donuts when they ask. You know, we're out cleaning snow. We drive by, you know, in the vicinity of Super Value or something like that. And then, hey, can we swing in and get a donut? You know, we did that 3 weeks ago, you know, and it's like, well, I suppose we could. You know, asking is powerful. It really is. Now, there are times when God, of course, does not fulfill our request because it's not good for us. It's not the right time and things like that. We aren't going to go into those depths here right now. But very simply, there are things we won't receive if we don't ask. This is an important truth. That's what he says right here. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now notice the illustration Jesus gives. He says, or what man is there of you? What father is there out there? Whom if his son ask bread, your son is hungry. I mean, in this case, he's not asking for, you know, chocolate. He's not asking for junk food. He's asking for nourishment. He's hungry. He's in need. Jesus says, will that father give him a stone? You say, chew on this rock. Careful, don't break your teeth. Is that what God, is that the kind of God we have that gives us something that's going to hurt us? Not at all. Not at all. And Jesus points this out. I mean, what father is there out there who would give their son a rock when he needs bread? It'd be a rare cold-hearted father. But you know what? He says and gives another example, verse 10, or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Fish is good. I don't know about serpent. God apparently seems to have a similar opinion. You know, God knows how to give good gifts. Look at verse 11. If ye then being evil, you are sinners. The fathers gathered in the audience that Jesus is talking to. You all are sinners. And you know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that, next two words, ask him. Let's say that again. I'll read it. Give good things to them that do what? Ask him. He says ask. Ask. Seek. Those who ask, receive. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, it shall be opened. It shall be opened. God wants to hear the prayers of his children. Can you believe it? If me, being a sinner, if my children have a need, if my children have a concern, have a burden, have a fear, have a care, do I not want to hear them express that to me? Of course I do. How much more your Heavenly Father wants to hear your prayer. Now, God knows our need. But there is a very critical and important component of you coming to Him in faith and seeking Him and knocking to see that need met. God sovereignly works in response to the prayers of his people. This is a very important truth we must understand. their things, good things God is willing to give for us, do for us, do in us, that he refrains from doing unless you pray. Consider an example of a prayer here in the book of Daniel and chapter 10. We see Daniel burdened. He's an old man at this time, coming to the end of his life, the end of his ministry. Daniel chapter 10. He has been seeking God. He's been knocking. He's been pleading with God for his people who have so turned away. He's pleading with God that God would intervene and that God would fulfill his promises to his people, that God would restore them, and so many other things, no doubt, he is praying for. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 10 that he was mourning. He was sorrowful. Verse 2 says, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Verse 3 tells us he was fasting. He was withholding food from him and seeking God. Lord, you must intervene in this situation. Lord, fulfill your word and bring your people back and restore Jerusalem. He's praying. But verse 12, I want you to notice, as an angel is sent from heaven in response to Daniel's prayer. This angel, I think, is really likely Gabriel. And it says here in verse 12, the angel, this is what the angel says to Daniel. Daniel, who's been praying for 3 weeks. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. The angel, Gabriel probably, says unto Daniel, fear not, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. Thy words were heard. Heaven heard your prayer. Daniel, I know you're a little startled by a bright angelic being standing before you. But do you want to know, Daniel? Heaven heard your words 3 weeks ago. And notice the last part of verse 12. The angel says this. Would you read it with me if you have it there? And I am come for thy words. Daniel, oh, sorry to startle you. Don't be afraid. Heaven heard your prayer. God heard your prayer. Yes, you've been fasting. You've been seeking me particularly for the last 3 weeks about this matter. We heard. God heard. And you know what? I am sent here for your words. You've been praying. Here I am. I got some things to tell you. Some things to show you. And God responds to prayer. You see, God works when his people pray. We've got to understand that, the importance of prayer. Let's go over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Our key verse is in James 5, verse 16. But we're looking at James chapter 4, which talks to us also about prayer. And it says these words. It says, first of all, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Why are you guys fighting, squabbling, and why is there so much strife? I'll tell you why. They come even of your lusts that war in your members. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not. Read it with me. Ye have not because ye ask not. Wow. Here's people who are fighting, they're discontented, there's strife and meanness and stealing and hatred and all this strife. And he says, you don't have what you need because you aren't asking. You have not because you ask not. Consider verse 3. It goes further. Oh, you are praying though some. Ye ask. There have been some things you're asking for. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Your prayer requests are contrary to God's will. Your prayer requests, he says, they are fleshly. They are simply to satisfy your lusts. And God is not going to answer those wrong prayers. And so he says, first of all, why aren't your needs being met? Because you don't ask. Second of all, why aren't your needs being met? Because the things you are asking for, they're not according to God's will. They are contrary to God's will. And that's why your needs are not being met. And you're miserable. And they were living corrupt lives. And their prayers were not being answered. But look down a few verses to verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Oh, God has a great storehouse laid up. He wants to give more grace. He has more grace to give. More of God's riches. More divine help for you, for me. He giveth more grace. Aren't you thankful that God gives more grace? God has more waiting that he wants to give. Notice what it says. He giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You see, when we humble ourselves before God in prayer, God meets our needs. May God help us to grow in prayer. Many of the things we are lacking are likely because we aren't praying that God would supply those things. We have got to cultivate, I have got to cultivate more direct, deliberate, intentional communication about needs, about burdens, about cares, about others, praying for one another, praying specifically about specific needs. And I want to encourage you, friends here today, family here today, brothers and sisters in Christ, can I encourage you to get a notebook that will be your prayer log. Maybe some are doing something like this already. Maybe you have a little different format. But I would encourage you to have a prayer log, a prayer journal, where you're writing down specific needs, specific people, and you're praying for something specific for them. You're seeking God. Lord, what's your will for this person's life? How should I pray for them? What requests could I make before your throne of grace for this individual? Does this person need to be saved? Well, then I'll pray for their salvation. Am I not sure where this person is with you? Well, I'm going to pray that God would work in their heart, that God would make that clear. Maybe this person has had a great loss in their life. I'm going to pray for God's comfort, for God's healing. Maybe this person has some struggles that are evident in my observations. I'm going to pray, oh Lord, help them to overcome that. Help them to get the victory in Christ. Help them to grow. You know, there's so many things we can pray for, and so many of them, you know, this is God's will. This is God's will. And with confidence, you can intercede for them. Maybe in your own life. Maybe it's wisdom. Lord, I really don't know what the next step should be. I don't know how to handle this situation. Well, have you prayed about it? Daniel prayed for 3 weeks and an angel came to him. Now, God could send an angel. That's perfectly in his capabilities. In fact, there's without doubt angels gathered here, and the Lord Jesus Christ as well. But you know what? God's help is what we need. Will you make a prayer log? Will you begin putting down people and specifics that you're going to pray for, you're going to seek God for? I would encourage you to put a date by your requests, so that as the pages of your prayer log go by, You put new requests and remember old requests that you star and highlight and whatever as it goes on and as you seek God and for these needs, for these burdens, for these cares, that you will be able to look back and as you see God answer, as you see God intervene, that you can write down what you observed God do in response to prayer. Make a note of that. Put a date there when God answered, and let's make a prayer journal for 2022. And let's grow in prayer. Something so powerful should not be relegated to the odd occasion, to the if I get around to it. Something so important should be a priority in our daily life. I want to journal before God what I'm praying for. Lord, I'm seeking you for this. God, would you provide for this need? Lord, would you give us wisdom in this decision? Lord, would you work in my child's heart on this matter that we're struggling with. Whatever it is, pray. You have a Father in heaven who says, ask, seek, knock, I will answer. I answer prayer. And our key verse, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's seek God. Seek to be right with God and others. And let's be men and women, boys and girls, who pray. For those joining online and even those assembled here in the sanctuary, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, today can be that day. The day you call on God through prayer in simple faith and trust Jesus to save you. We'd love to help you to see and know how to be saved. Answer any questions. We'd love to be a help to you. Love to pray for you, pray with you. If you need Christ, he's only a prayer away. He's willing to answer when we call. He's willing to save. If you need Christ, come to him today.